You're listening to day two of Guest Services Week on the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Atkins. You see how I didn't do that awkward
opening intro yesterday? I didn't want that to happen again. So
dead air is not our friend.
No, it's not.
But it was awkwardly funny, I think.
Maybe.
Or maybe just awkward.
Probably more just awkward.
So if you didn't listen to yesterday's episode,
go back. Do it,
listen to the first 30 seconds.
It's strangely awkward.
Yeah, there will be an awkward pause, which I was considering editing.
But no.
No.
I thought awkwardness was good.
It's authentic.
Reality podcasting.
Reality podcasting. Yes, that's good. All right. Well, today we are continuing with our week of guest services course on the newchurches.com podcast. The intent for the week is that we would every day highlight a portion of our course guest services that you can find at newchurches.com/guest services. Yesterday, we talked about kind of setting the foundation, creating a gospel-centered hospitality culture. And today, we're going to be talking about giftings-based service in the local church. All right, giftings-based service in the local church.
GBS.
GBS.
Just kidding.
Yes. We're going to be talking about GBS.
We'll be talking about GBS. We should make an acronym for everything.
We should. We should. What's the podcast acronym? The NC podcast?
I don't know.
NCP?
NCP?
All right. Well, let us listen in. And at the end of listening into this segment, we will give you the code for another deal for the guest services course. It's a secret. The code is not secret, but you will hear about it in a little bit. So let's listen in.
Maybe you've heard the question, and maybe you've asked it yourself, but just about every believer comes to a point where they have to ask, why should I serve the local church? How does it benefit me? And does it really benefit those around me? Well, spoiler alert, I believe that every Christian has a role to play within the body. And we'll get into more practical counsel in other series videos. But for now, 1 Peter 4:10 gives us the charge that we need. The apostle is writing to churches in what is now modern day Turkey, churches who at the time were made up of mostly Gentiles who were still learning what it looked like to be the church. And in his letter, Peter pens one of my favorite verses in Scripture. He says that as each has received a gift, we should use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Peter affirms the teaching of Paul that every believer is in possession of a spiritual gift. But rather than stopping there, he goes on to say that those gifts aren't just to be acknowledged, but they're to be used. And they're to be used to serve those around us. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about the fact that you have a spiritual gift. And maybe you're watching this and you realize you've thought about it far too much. You've taken every spiritual gift test known to man. You've been really excited over some of the test results and really upset over some of the others. And the only problem that I have with spiritual gift tests is that people spend so much time taking surveys that they never actually serve. Your gift or your gifts aren't meant to build you up. They're meant to build up the body of Christ and the larger community around you. 1 Peter 4:10 isn't a suggestion. It's a command. And it's a command for our good. When we serve, we discover a small part of the purpose that God is using us for. When we serve, we do so as good stewards. We're managing well the grace of God in our lives. And when we serve, we're displaying that grace to a watching world. Your pastor displays grace when he uses his gift of teaching in order to expound the truths of Scripture. The person who led you to faith in Jesus displayed grace when they used their gift of evangelism. And you can display grace when you see the gift that God has given you and when you use that. And maybe you're a numbers cruncher. Maybe you have a knack with kids. Maybe you don't mind being up front, or perhaps you'd rather just serve behind the scenes. However you're wired, God has wired you that way so that you can serve Him and point others to Him. So the question is no longer, why do you serve? But are you serving? Are you using His grace to you to show His grace to others? In other sessions, we'll explore more about why and how you can serve in your particular context. In this session and another one, I want to highlight two key principles for serving the local church. Understanding these principles will help every believer understand the crucial role that they play in their local congregation. Principle number one is this. You should serve, not because we need you to, but because you need to. That's a little bit of a mouthful. Let me say that again. You should serve in your local church, not because your local church needs you to serve, but because you need to serve. Here's what I mean by that. So often we respond to a call to serve based on need or guilt. We'll cover the role that guilt plays in another session, but for our purposes in this training, let's take a moment to talk about need. Much of what we do in life can probably be traced back to need. A neighbor needs help moving, so we spend a Saturday lending a hand. Our boss needs our eyes on a document, so we stay late at the office to review it. Our first grader's classroom needs a room parent, so we begrudgingly step up to volunteer. And need is not always bad. We can and should look to needs around us and seek to serve others where they need us. But always serving according to need means that we're starting with the wrong paradigm. There will always be needs. And if we spend our entire life floating from need to need to need, we'll be both exhausted and ineffective. And in addition to that, serving simply for the reason that the church needs me to can be an unhealthy attitude. Let's be realistic. If you've never stepped up to serve in your church and you never do, they would probably still survive. Yes, you may do a lot, but you probably don't do it all. Someone would come along to fill the void. Someone would park the cars or teach the eighth grade girls class. So rather than saying that we serve because the church needs us, let's change our language. Let's step back and in fairness say that we should serve because we need to serve. That's an absolutely true statement. In God's grand design of us, He gave us gifts in order to serve others. We've talked about 1 Peter 4:10 in another session and the principle that that holds. I've been in church world all my life. And through a very unscientific survey that I just made up here on the spot, I've determined that people who use their gifts to serve the church tend to be happier people. They're better connected to others. They seem to know the way that God best uses them. And they tend to be a lot more fulfilled in their church life. On the other hand, I've noticed that people who never step up to serve can be more disillusioned with the church. They can feel like they're just on the fringes. They can be more critical of the church's ministries than those who are serving in those ministries. And while they always may have a better way that those other guys could do it better, you don't always see that talk translated into action. I have a friend at our church named Eileen. Eileen's in her 50s. She's been a part of our church for many years now, and she's one of those people that you just think about when you think about who it is that makes up your congregation. But this is what Eileen said in a recent interview that we did with her. She said, "I was doing all of the things that you're supposed to do as a good Christian. You go to church, you sing, you pray, and I thought, well, is this the way it's supposed to be forever? Just go to church and come home?" She said, "I had this aching, but every time a need was mentioned from the stage or in a newsletter, I had a reason why I couldn't do it. An opportunity came open in our church, and we were launching a new venue, and someone challenged Eileen to use her very obvious people skills that she has to serve on the guest services team in this new venture. And she said, after that very first week, I thought, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is what it's all about. It's not for me anymore." Maybe your story is kind of like Eileen's story. Maybe you've never found fulfillment serving anywhere because you're so exhausted or intimidated about meeting every single need that's out there. Understanding these principles will help every believer understand the crucial role that you play in your local congregation. Principle one was that we serve the local church not because the church needs us, but because we need to serve. But closely related to that is that when we serve, our service should emerge from our passion. Passion is a funny thing, isn't it? Passion is what drives people to get to work early and stay at the office late and never feel like they've actually worked a day in their life. It's what drives our inner sense of mission and causes people to save the whales or feed the children or sell all of our worldly possessions and go work for the Peace Corps. It's the thing that makes relationships blossom and makes marriages last. But if we know anything about passion, it's this. Not everybody has the same one. We're not all passionate about the same things, and that is a very good thing. When I was in seminary, I worked for one semester as a security guard at a local computer assembly plant. It was, by all definitions, a J-O-B. It paid the bills, and that was pretty much it. It put food on the table for my very young family, but it was nothing that I was crazy about. For one thing, you can look at me and tell that I'm not exactly law enforcement material. I can bench press about a half gallon of ice cream before I get out of breath. And as soon as another opportunity in another profession opened up, I ran out of that place as fast as my rented polyester uniform would carry me. But on the other hand, I worked with a fellow security guard who loved it. He got a little too geeked out with systems and procedures and the best way to take down a perpetrator. He worked out for a couple of hours every day so he could bulk up and look more intimidating to the people that we were screening as they left work. And the last time that I saw him, he was starting at the police academy. And for all I know, he's probably a CIA agent as we speak. The point is, he was passionate about his role. I wasn't. And we see the same things happen all the time in our churches. People get in roles that are just not great fits for them. They may understand the role, and they may be even proficient in the role. But without passion, without joy, they're likely not going to last. Ministry areas that fit your passion will capture your interest and awaken your emotion. Many of us have spent years sampling and tasting at the spiritual gifts buffet, trying to find the perfect combination of ingredients that are going to suit our palates. Too little skill set here or too little interest there, and we can quickly conclude that there's nothing that we can really do to effectively serve the church. Sure, we can accept a job. We can serve on the finance committee, even though we're not great with numbers. Or we can teach a boys' Sunday school class, even though we don't like eighth grade boys. But what if? What if we figured out what it was that we were passionate about? What if we took the desires that God had placed on our hearts and asked how He could possibly use them for ministry? What if we looked at the things that we were already doing, the way that He had already wired us, and we put those skills to work within the church? You see, you can't manufacture passion. When it comes to serving in the church, you can't fake a smile over the long haul. But find the one thing that you love and watch out. Nobody is going to be able to keep you from jumping in.
Well, my favorite part is when he talked about Peter Pan. I mean,
well, he talked
Peter
about
Pan
Disney
says
yesterday.
That gifts are not just to be acknowledged, but to be used. I could see him saying that to Wendy and the Lost Boys on a regular basis.
I think he's been to Disney way too often.
I don't know. He may have said Peter Pinned.
Yeah, probably. I like it when he was talking about rent being a rent-a-cop.
Yeah, he when he first said that, I went, because he does look like he could bench press a half gallon of ice cream.
Yeah,
and it's,
I mean,
about right.
Depends. Is it Rocky Road or vanilla? I mean, Rocky Road is a little bit more bulk to it.
I don't know.
All right. Well, okay. So the topic was giftings based service in the local church. I love how he shared your gifts aren't meant to build you up. Right, they are meant to build up the body of Christ and the larger community around you. And I feel like with our Western individualism, our tendencies to see the world through our lens, all about us, it's easy often to interpret the scriptures in that way as well, right? To see, oh, gifts, oh, I'm gifted. Well, what are the ways that I am uniquely gifted? How can I use that? What should I do? Whereas in reality, when you look through Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, that they're all talking about, hey, these are gifts given to you to build up the body of Christ.
Well, and I will add, since you mentioned Ephesians 4, that Ephesians 4 is written to the church leaders.
Yep.
And the church leaders have one job, and he has given some to be pastors, teachers, apostles, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
For the equipping of the saints in the work of ministry.
Yeah.
And then you go a little bit further, and it's to be measured in the fullness of Christ.
Yeah.
Drop the mic. Not only are your gifts not for just you, mm-hmm, or for your church, a lot of what your job is as a church leader is to bring out the gifts in the congregation. So many times we focus on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it's by grace you've been saved. It's not a gift of works, but we forget that there's a responsibility that comes with that. In the next verse, verse 10 says, we're God's workmanship. And so it's really important and vital for us to tap into that in the local body.
Yeah, and that's why every believer, this something Danny said earlier on, but that every believer comes to a point where they need to ask, why should I serve the local church? Right? And it's important that you're not framing that in the sense of, oh, serve so that you can.
So I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, because you can't grow into spiritual maturity apart from using your gifts and service to Christ.
Yeah. I mean, why did Jesus come, right? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, right? So, I mean, it's when we serve that we draw closer to Christ, that we are doing what Christ did, that we are becoming as he is, right? So today, the deal, if you are wanting to purchase this course, which I highly recommend you take a look at, you could even start
this Tuesday,
Tuesday. It is Tuesday. And you can actually watch the first three sessions, gain access to what our course management tool looks like, the video actually of the first three sessions and some handouts. But the deal for today,
if they see Danny, I don't know if they'll...
Come on, man. We love Danny.
I love right Danny.
Here. Oh, yeah. That's why he's the lone faculty member.
He is the lone faculty member.
Because we love him. All right. But the coupon code is BookBundle10. All right. BookBundle10. So yesterday, we gave out a 10% discount and the transformational books. Today, it's 10% off and the Rainer bundle.
That's the Rainer bundle.
Yeah, the Rainer
Make
bundle.
Make it rain!
I am a church member. I will. And who moved my pulpit is his newest one. So be sure before midnight tonight.
That's a lot.
Get 10% off. And there's those three Rainer books by using the coupon code BookBundle10. If you're a Plus member, you can actually use your Plus member code as well and get an additional 25% off the course. Only till tonight, Central Time, midnight. All right. Sweet. So Todd, are you going to open up your computer and do this thing?
Maybe. For the Rainer bundle. Is there going to be an M bundle?
I only have one right now. But
you only have one book.
Maybe when I get to three.
You could bundle something else.
Yeah, that's true.
You could put something in
there. Well, tomorrow's another deal. So
maybe it's
the M bundle or the Atkins bundle.
It would just be Atkins diet foods.
All right, well,
it's way funner than the Atkins diet, by the way.
Yes, so be sure to check this out tomorrow for day three of Guest Services Week.